Scripture is going to be from John chapter 12. This is John's account of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, the triumphal entry. But the first 11 verses are about something that happened right before that. And I want to focus on that today because I think the two go together, and that's going to be kind of the main point of my message. So verse 1, I'm reading from the New International Version. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served, while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table with him. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, who was later to betray him, objected. Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to whatever was put in it. Leave her alone, Jesus replied. It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me. Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there and came, not only of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith in him. The next day, the crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it, as it is written. Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world's gone after him. Verse 23, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat, a seed, falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. We say amen to that. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you will write this word on our heart. I pray, Father, you would enable me to minister well and in a way that helps everybody here connect with you and have faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot of things in this passage. I want to start with a point Jesus made about a seed falling into the ground, because last week we looked at a sobering story Jesus told, that the way into the kingdom of God is through what kind of door? A narrow door, okay? So Jesus saying, hey, if you're going to live the way everybody else in the world is living, what's going to happen? You're going to miss the kingdom of God. So it's a narrow door, and that involves denying yourself, picking up your cross, following Jesus. And so it's hard for us to do that. But the good thing is, in the kingdom of God, anytime there's a death, you die to yourself. You die to me being first. You die to doing what I want to do, and you have to serve somebody else. Something happens after that. What is it? Life. So that's the first point. In God's kingdom, life comes after death. It's not a natural way of thinking. That's why it's hard for us to die to ourselves. But that's what happens. So Jesus is using this example with a seed. How many of you have ever planted a garden? Okay? So if you have, yeah, you tried, okay? If you have some seeds, and you just leave them in the little seed, you know, pouch that you get, what happens to them? Nothing. They just stay there. They just remain by themselves. But if you plant that seed and you put it in the ground, you water it, it changes. It doesn't stay a seed. And Jesus calls that, it dies. It dies to being a seed and becomes something else. Hallelujah. Okay? So that one seed by itself is just a seed. If it dies from that and becomes a plant and starts germinating, what can happen? It multiplies. It can produce many seeds. It can produce fruit that feeds people. And Jesus is saying, that's what happens when you die to being self-centered and follow me. And you learn to live my way. It's just like that. That's great. And then he goes on with this great promise. It's written there on your sheet. John 12, 26. Let's read this together. It's the first scripture. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Wow. How many of you would like to be honored by God? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? We have parties. We honor somebody with a birthday party. We honor people from the front here. Jesus said, my Father will honor you if you follow me. Wow. If you don't get anything else from today, get that. If you're trying to follow Jesus, God's going to honor you. Amen? Now let's look at the triumphal entry. Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. It's what we're celebrating. Why were the people cheering for Jesus? They thought he was a king. That's one reason. Some people thought he was the fulfillment of prophecy that there'd be a king, a Messiah, who would bring God's kingdom to earth and free the Jews. That's one reason. What's the second one? Somebody else. Many miracles, okay? If you had a friend who was blind, and then that blind person could see, how excited would you be? You'd be really excited. It was, I don't know, how old is Anaya now? Five? So is it 5 years ago that you prayed? So Tony and Cindy's little baby was deaf. We didn't know that at the time, but when Cindy came up at Easter, told the story how they prayed for months every day that she would be healed from being deaf. Now she hears. How excited were we that day? Yeah, we were very excited. I remember like kind of like the hair on my arm kind of standing up on end. Like, you know, she's sharing the story. I'm like, whoa. It was great. Because so people are excited about Jesus and they're cheering for him. Hosanna, blessed is the king. So number three, people cheered Jesus for all the miracles they had seen. They cheered him because they thought he was a king. Now, did everybody cheer? No, there's a group of people, religious leaders, the Pharisees. They didn't like Jesus. They considered him a heretic. He was a false teacher. He was leading people astray, and they had actually made a plan to kill him. And these guys were so determined. Some of you raised your eyes when I read it. When they realized people were following Jesus because of Lazarus, who had died, and Jesus got him out of the tomb, they said, well, I guess we got to kill Lazarus too. Wow. But you know, Jesus has a way of dividing people, doesn't he? It's hard to be just kind of, I mean, people in America are sometimes meaty, you know, kind of middle of the road with Jesus, but Jesus, like, wow, he's either who he is or he's not. And he has that effect on people. And so we're praying that that will happen to people, and they'll, like, respond, amen? Jesus fulfilled a prophecy that was given 500 years before, where we read this, do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion, see your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. That was spoken and written over 500 years before Jesus rode into that city. Do you ever think about what happened 500 years ago? Hard to know, right? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Okay, I learned that in fifth grade. That was about 500 years ago. I mean, it's hard to fathom 500 years. God's word comes to pass 500 years later. That's why we believe it. That's why we build our lives on it. It's not for no reason. It's his word. It comes to pass. Let's look at the effect that Jesus had on Mary. We go from the Pharisees to the opposite extreme. Here's Mary. Mary had an extravagant love for Jesus. She had a pint of expensive perfume. Like when you buy expensive perfume, how much do you usually get in a bottle? Like an ounce, ounce and a half, you know, something like that. She had 16 ounces, and it wasn't like perfume that was like a dollar an ounce. It was perfume that was hundreds of dollars an ounce, thousands of dollars. It was a year's wages. Think about that. How long would it take you to save a year of your wages? Jenna's like, a long time. Yeah. So somehow, I don't know if Mary just works. She seems she's a younger woman. Whether she saved it, whether she inherited some money. But she had something really expensive. And she poured it on Jesus. And she wiped his feet. She was pouring it on his feet. And she wiped his feet with her hair. How would you feel if someone did that to you? It would be like shocking. It's like embarrassing. I mean, she's humbling herself. She's giving you like this enormously expensive gift. She's humbling herself, wiping your feet with her hair. It's kind of shocking. She had an extravagant love for Jesus. Now, the next point, Judas and the disciples, it's number 5, said it was a waste. In another passage in Mark, it's about the same story. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor. And they rebuked Mary harshly. Wow. So it created a controversy. What possessed Mary to do what she did? Why did other people see it as a waste? What's a waste? What's a waste? A waste is spending more on something than you need to. Or a waste is giving somebody something that they don't deserve. All right? So, you know, if you're, I don't know, whatever, you're going to buy like a ham or something for Easter and you spend $20 and they say, oh, it was on sale at Star for $10. As Christians, we go, oh, rats. I wasted my money. Or maybe you've been in a situation where someone was honored and in your heart you're thinking, they don't really deserve that. Yes, I mean, you're nodding, yeah. Okay, so yeah, you feel like that was a waste, okay? So the disciples were looking at this extravagant gift poured out on Jesus and said, that's a waste. We should have given that to the poor. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, leave her alone. She's unknowingly anointing my body for burial. There's something coming. And Mary's actually being moved by the Spirit of God to prepare her Lord. Mary felt Jesus was worth it. That's your next point. Jesus saved her brother. Her brother was dead. Think some of you have loved ones who have died. How much would you give if you could get that person back? My little brother, Bill, died when he was about 37, I believe. Really shocked our family, especially my parents. How much would my mom and dad have given if they could get him back? They would give all they had. right? And so that's the kind of love that Mary had for Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God wants to produce in us what was in Mary's heart. Do you believe that? That's what he wants to produce in us. That's your next point on the outline. Mary totally believed Jesus was worth everything she could give. How much is Jesus worth to you today? Is he worth your best? Or would it be like giving Jesus your best be a waste? There's, you know, other things that you need to compare to that or wonder if it's worth it. There's another time in the Gospels where a woman anointed Jesus' feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. What kind of woman was she? Help me out. What did the Bible say? It said she was an immoral, it said she was a sinner. The connotation is she was an immoral woman. She was easy to get to bed, or she was a prostitute. Doesn't come right out and say it, but that's what we get from that. And so the dinner host was a Pharisee, and they kept themselves very holy. They were like Orthodox Hasidic Jews today. So he would never let a woman like that in his home. And here's this woman touching Jesus, crying, weeping over his feet, wiping again his feet with her hair, and he's thinking, obviously this man is not from God. Because if he were from God, he would know what sort of woman is touching him right now. So Jesus was reading his mind. And he said, Simon, I have a story to tell. He goes, tell it. He said, there was a moneylender. He loaned one man 500 pieces of silver, and he lent another man 50. After some time, both of them were unable to repay him. He graciously forgave them both. Which of them will love him more? And he said, well, I suppose the man he forgave more. He said, you've answered correctly. He said, I came in here, you didn't give me the customary service of putting oil on my head, but she's anointed my feet with her tears. You didn't provide a servant to wash my feet, but she's washed my feet with her tears and her hair. And so her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. He says, the one who's forgiven little loves what? Little. So how many of you want to love God just a little? All right, how many of you want to love God a lot? Okay, if we want to love God a lot, what do we have to let God do? Show us how sinful we are, right? That's part of loving God, is learning how bad you are. That's why people in the world have trouble coming to Jesus. That's maybe why you had a hard time coming to Jesus. Because coming to Jesus means admitting, you know what? I'm a bad person. I have sins. That's what it means. So number eight, the one who's forgiven much, what? Loves much. How many of you, when someone close to you points out something wrong with you, find, like, in your heart, your immediate reaction is to defend yourself? Okay, Ingrid and I will have discussions, and Ingrid goes, you're being defensive. Do you think I get defensive? I'm your pastor. So, yeah, I get defensive. What does defensiveness come from? Pride. Okay, we don't want to be wrong. The next point is justifying your sin makes you appreciate God less. Did you get that? Being defensive makes you appreciate God less. If you can accept that, oh my gosh, I sinned, and you can humble yourself, you can ask God to forgive you, you can ask the person you sinned against to forgive you. In any relationship, sometimes the simplest words are the most powerful. I was wrong, please forgive me. Two three-word sentences. They're powerful. And if you're married, you can say, I'm so sorry. That helps too. Can we allow the Lord to convict us? When we read his word, when you hear a message like this, when we interact with each other and someone says, hey, you know, when you did that, it really kind of hurt my feelings. Can we say, oh, wow. Thank you for telling me that. I don't want to hurt your feelings. I'm sorry. That's where following Jesus, the rubber hits the road. When we know there's something controlling us that God doesn't want to control us, and we start dealing with it, that's where following Jesus, the rubber hits the road. God wants us to do that. There's a power in it. So in our society today, is it hard for most people to admit they're sinful? Yes. Okay, so public thinking today is, we're all good. I'm good, you're good, she's good. If we just believe everybody's good, everything will be good. And, you know, if there is a heaven, of course God would let me in because I'm good. All right, so I have a story to tell us, okay? I was pondering something along these lines. I was thinking of, have you ever heard a story of how contractors swindle old people? So it's sort of like, you know, elderly people and, you know, they're not as sharp and quick mentally. They come along and say, oh, you know, we saw the outside of your house. Looks like your roof's going to start leaking. And they make this deal and they get a big down payment and then they're gone. So, you know, I just looked this up on the internet this morning, found one right away. This is from this year in Central New York State. Contractor swindles elderly New Hartford neighbor out of $5,000. 46-year-old James E. Jewett of Joseph Jewett Home Improvement Company agreed to do a roof job, yet after taking $5,050, Jewett never returned to perform the work. Now, fortunately for this elderly person, they caught the guy. Now, how many of you think this guy deserves to be punished? Raise your hand. Okay? How many of you think that God should just let him go right to heaven when he dies? No? Okay, a few people did. They're compassionate. That's good. Why not? Yeah, he needs to repent. I mean, what did he do? He lied. He deceived a person. Then he took their money. What's that called? Stealing, all right? How many of you have ever lied? How many of you have ever taken something that didn't belong to you? Should God just let you into heaven? Okay? Jesus said, the way you judge other people is exactly the way he'll judge you. And there's a video I want to show some of the kids. I showed it to the Truth Kids where this evangelist goes around. He's out on the street interviewing people, asking questions like that. And people always say, yeah, no, I'm a good person, yeah. And then he'll say, oh, if you had, like, somebody gave you $2 million and there's a woman and she said her husband was a rat and for $2 million you would just point a couple of drops of arsenic in his drink and kill him, would you do it? And, like, you know, person, oh, yeah, I'd do it. Yeah. I mean, it was just like, you're like, oh, great. I mean, they said, you kill an innocent person. Well, his wife says he's a rat, or it's just funny. But I just told you a story you could tell to any friend, and you could show them their hypocrisy. Because everybody would universally condemn James E. Jewett. It's like, no, that guy was a rat. You see what I'm saying? God will judge us the way we judge other people. So what do sinners need? They need forgiveness, or I put for number 11, sinners need someone who will pay the debt they owe. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in what? Spirit, for they will receive the kingdom of heaven. If you're poor, what do you know you need? Money. If you're poor in spirit, what do you need? Jesus. I want you to answer that one for me. If you're poor in spirit, what do you need? Jesus. There you go. Because Jesus paid our debt. And because of that, when you accept what Jesus did for you, it is just for God to not hold any of your sins against you. God can be entirely righteous legally as a judge to say you're free because of Jesus. Praise God. Now let's go back to waste. Why this waste? Is it possible to give too much for Jesus? I thought of another example. 15 years ago, when we started our church, we gave Ed Hodge the nice guitar right here. Here's Ed's. Can I pick this up, Ed, without doing something? Okay, this is a nice guitar. It's looking older now. But this was a nice guitar. It's like, you know, a $500 or $600 guitar. I'm sure I got it on sale. Just don't want you to think I spent more than I needed to. I didn't set it down right. Thank you. Oh, that's... Is it still not on there? Okay. Now, suppose when I presented that guitar to Ed, I turned to the church and said, "Church, guess what? I got a real deal on this thing. I spent $15,000 from the church bank account to get the guitar for Ed." How would you feel? How many of you say, "Yes, Ed is worth..." No, you know. Some of you would. You would feel funny. You'd say, like, "Gee, Dave, I mean, we love Ed and everything, but $15,000? You can get a lot of guitars for $15,000. Janine might say, "Couldn't we have that for towards a down payment on a house or something? Come on." But Mary spent a year's wages anointing Jesus, blessing Jesus, loving Jesus. Jesus said in Mark 14, "I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." We are here today, and what are we doing? We're remembering Mary and what she did. The next point on your outline, God gave everything for us, so we should do the same for him. Amen? Yeah, he gave everything for us. And there's an encouragement. What did Jesus say? The seed that dies, what happens? Grows, bears fruit, produces more seed. The person who follows him and serves him, what's going to happen? Oh, you missed it. The person, what will happen to the Jesus promise, specific promise? I said, if you don't get anything else, get this one. The Father will what? Honor you. Wow. I want God to honor me. Hallelujah. So let's follow Jesus. Let's be all out for him. Watchman Nee wrote on this subject, talking about pleasing the Lord. Like, our natural tendency is to please whom? Ourselves. And we think, if I can just please myself, get things my way, I'll be happy and life will be great. And then it just doesn't work out that way. So he said this, "I have never met a person who has set out to satisfy the Lord and has not been satisfied himself. It is impossible. Our satisfaction comes unfailingly when we satisfy him first." Feeling discontented? Feeling dissatisfied with yourself, dissatisfied with life? Perhaps the reason is you're seeking to please yourself rather than pleasing Jesus. Lord, open our eyes to your worth. Amen. Open my heart again. Watchman Nee said, "Waste only comes into our thinking when we underestimate the value of the Lord. He's worthy. How many of you in your hearts, you feel like, yeah, he's worthy. Yeah, you feel, let's live that way. Let's live like he's worthy of our very best. One thing I'll say, even though I'm defensive, I've got some flaws and faults, I have no regrets for following Jesus. Every time I've sought to give my all for him, I'm glad I did. Hallelujah. I believe you will be too. Here's the last verse. It's on your outline. Mary took a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. There's a wonderful fragrance that comes from pouring your best on Jesus. There's some people, when you're around them, you sense the Lord. Do you know what I mean? Paul talks about the fragrance of Christ. You can smell Jesus on that person, in that person. Someone says, yeah, you kind of smell. No, you smell good. I want to be that kind of person. I want you to be that kind of person. We can be that kind of person. Hallelujah. Amen? All right. Ed, can you give us a closing song, please? How much is Jesus worth? Let's just take a minute. Remind yourself. Think about how much is Jesus worth? How much has Jesus forgiven you? Now, if you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you, then you're not going to feel a great love for him. Allow God to show you your sinfulness and that you need to ask Jesus to forgive you. That's the way to love, to loving God and to having joy in your heart and being free from guilt. Father God, I thank you for everyone listening this morning. I thank you, Father, that Jesus encourages us. There's life after death. It seems hard, but it's worth it. Hallelujah. Jesus, we just want to remind ourselves that we were lost without you. Lord, it's like we had a billion-dollar debt and we couldn't pay it. It's like we were on a road, but it was the wrong road. It was leading to destruction. Father, I pray that you would stir us and remind us afresh when we live to please you, life actually gets better. When we do something that's counterintuitive, instead of wanting my own way, Lord, your will be done. Lord, help me. Start with me. Help my brothers and sisters. Let us see again, Jesus, how worthy you are this morning. Just take a minute to talk to God on your own. I want to encourage you. I felt God putting in my heart that some of you have made sacrifices for him. And God wants you to know that there's no sacrifice that you've made that is unnoticed or will go unrewarded. So take courage. Don't lose heart. There's good that will come from it. Some of you might be afraid of making a sacrifice. God wants you to know, good will come from it. Don't be afraid.